Welcome to the Office Podcast. My name is Miss Lelobi and I'm with Lighten.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Lai.
And Kia.
How are you guys?
All good, all good. So you guys decided to just take a break and unannounced.
Yeah, hey, I almost died, guys. I can't announce these things.
Yeah. But I'm so glad that we're back, guys. I think I missed you, and I think our listeners also missed it.
So. Yeah.
No, they did.
So unfair, that's though. Yeah. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't be disappearing and not announcing. Sorry, guys.
Life happens.
Okay. So we hopefully, what are we talking about today in office politics?
So yeah? Today we want to make sure that everyone who's job hunting makes the most of their job hunting experience.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to find out what are we doing wrong that we're not getting the roles that we want.
Exactly.
So we're going to get, we're actually going to have a guest.
Okay.
In studio today for the first time. Our first guest.
That's awesome.
Our first guest. So this is a recruitment professional who understands exactly what they're looking for when they're on the other side.
Nice.
And then at least as a, you know, as a job seeker, we can get an idea of what to do and what not to do.
Okay, cool stuff. And then we also have tea time later on with Lights and Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But before that, it's time for KYC. Know Your Continent. Okay, so this country, which is obviously in Africa,
yes,
has an annual GDP growth. Well, it has had an annual GDP growth of 7% since 2013, and it's also one of the fastest growing economies in sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
This homophobic country,
uh-huh.
its economic growth, né, is driven by small and medium-sized enterprises, more than half of which are owned by women.
Interesting.
And it wouldn't be Tanzania or anything.
Is that your guess or are you?
Can you continue with the?
Must I continue?
Okay, continue.
Okay, because you are more than welcome to guess anytime. And then it has got 120 tribes.
Okay.
So they speak a whole lot of languages, and it's rude to use your left hand to greet someone in this country.
It wouldn't be Nigeria.
So you must. Yeah. So when you are guessing, you must tell me your guess. Now you mustn't ask me a question.
Right. Okay. Because
if you're asking me a question, I don't know. I can't answer you.
Yeah.
Just give me what you think it is. Must I continue? Or you wanna guess?
I think we need to start guessing. Sub-Saharan Africa. So it's like from almost a bit of Southern Africa, most of Southern Africa, and just like a little bit. I think it's Sub-Saharan is from like Tanzania.
I'm also thinking Tanzania.
I think it's Malawi.
It's Tanzania.
Oh, you already got it for the first time.
But what made you say Tanzania?
Homophobic. Oh yeah.
It's not the only homophobic country.
Yes,
but not too long ago, and then
who's
Botswana.
Food? Kyle, are you eating?
Yes.
sorry, Kyle.
Okay. And then Botswana actually also, well, they anti-homophobic.
Botswana just
decriminalized.
Yeah. So we're seeing some progress in some African countries, but Tanzania's still stuck.
Nice.
And the reason I remember is because I want to go to Zanzibar, but I'm just thinking to myself, how am I going to support a country that feels this way about?
Well, Zanzibar has its own flag, and they kind of like separate-ish, but at the end of the day, it's all there.
Yeah.
It's all.
It was actually quite a great grace because last year, I remember in December, I wanted to go to Zanzibar, but then.
Because it was right after that thing had come up.
Yes, after the thing had come up with the president.
And you thought you didn't go, right?
Yeah,
so I've also just been offish.
It wasn't even the president. I think it's like a Home Affairs or something, the Foreign Affairs type of ministry. Ministry or something. I don't think it was a president.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Yeah, no, I would. Yeah, I know. So I'm a little bit. I know, like, I really want to go, but my heart, I just can't.
Yeah.
You
know.
Improvement.
Well done.
So
well done.
Still 3-1. Update on this call.
You know? So one thing about Tanzania that's interesting is that they share the national anthem with South Africa and Zimbabwe. Theirs is called Mungu Ibariki Africa, so it's still written by the other person, but just in their language. Do you know that they have got lion climbing trees in Serengeti National Park?
Trees. No, honey. I'm not going there.
I've seen cheetahs there and seen lions climb trees.
So what do they feed their lions?
The lions climb trees.
What are they feeding their lions?
I have no idea.
No, bruh.
So there's an interesting story that I wanted to share about Tanzania.
Yes.
So they're saying that Tanzania is like a friendly country in terms of diplomatic circles, but they did declare war on Uganda, which is just next to it, right, in October 1978. And Tanzania, why do I keep saying Zanzibar? Tanzania won that war. Uh-huh. But how it started with a bar fight.
Wow.
The war started with a bar fight. So how it started, there was a soldier, a Ugandan soldier, who crossed over to Tanzania for a drink and ended up shooting people. So because of that, now Tanzania and Uganda had a war, which Tanzania won. Egos.
Yes,
no, but it was not egos. But imagine you are a soldier and you go to my country, you come and start shooting people after
but
getting
drunk. But I mean,
drunk.
It is egos. Now you're like, okay, you I'm going to show you. Yeah, well, we're going to show you. I mean, if they were like level-headed about it.
Do you know what like stood out for me was that most of the economy is driven by SMEs that are largely owned by women. I thought that was quite impressive.
Very, very impressive.
Quite impressive. Wow.
Awesome. And so well done. Well done, Kia. Congratulations.
Give me cupcakes.
Okay, so now, Kia, it's time for us to talk office politics, but we'll do that right after this. Okay, it's time now for office politics with Kia. What's happening, Kia? I see you have someone next to you.
Hey guys, today's going to be fun. Hey, so this is our very first guest on the Office Podcast. So thank you. You're breaking the ice for our guests on the Office Podcast. And today we're going to be talking to Nombu because Nombu is a talent acquisition expert. And she's been in the recruitment space for a number of years now. I think almost around five, six years. She's currently completing her studies at Gibbs and she's doing her master's in corporate strategy. And the reason we invited her in is because in one of our previous episodes, we chatted about a specific element of the recruitment process, right? Which is, dear recruiter, why are you asking me for my payslip? Mm-hmm. And from that particular conversation, you know, there were some questions that came up again. And therefore, we thought, you know what? Let's extend this conversation, make it a little bit wider, broader, and answer a lot of the questions that people have regarding recruitment. And why am I not getting that specific job? Why are you guys not calling me? What did I do wrong? Did I, you know, is my CV not looking good? Did I dress inappropriately? I mean, the skirt I'm wearing today, I wouldn't dress normally to an interview. So that's why we wanted to bring in someone. And, you know, it's great that we have the conversation, but it's also great that we have experts in the house just to give us a, you know, a breakdown of what's going on. So Nombu, welcome. Please hi to our Office Podcast family. I call them family.
Awesome. Hi family. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to share my insights on the in the recruitment industry.
Hello, Nombu. You actually that's what I was thinking. Sounds you beautiful. Might have a different job after the episode.
Perfect.
So guys, you know, one thing that I've always realized is when there's something going wrong, when it's got to do with recruitment, people don't understand that HR, or rather that recruitment is a part of the HR function. So HR is broad, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got recruitment within HR. You've also got training and development within HR. Mm-hmm. What other parts of HR exist? So I think, guys, every time you want to take jabs at recruitment, you forget that HR is actually a bigger function. And even when you're studying, you just need to understand that there's different functions within, and recruitment is a function within human resources. But also recruitment is also sales, right? So how does that actually work, if you can just maybe break it down for us?
So I'd say it's sales, because if I get a head of marketing role, right, I'm looking for the best possible candidate because I'm looking to place. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to headhunt, I need to sell. I need to sell the client. I need to sell the opportunity. So I need to know my ins and outs of, you know, what's great about the client. What have they done? Mm-hmm. Are they JC listed? Those kind of things. What kind of awards are they winning? Are they leading in the industry? Okay. Why must that person accept that kind of an opportunity? You know, why must they even entertain it? So I need to sell it. I need to make them excited about it, because remember, sometimes we don't always want to go for candidates that are active in the market, because then everyone in the industry is kind of regurgitating the same people. So you kind of want someone who is not really out there in the market, so that you can entice them. And obviously I always say that the passive candidates are normally the people that are the best.
That's the ones that you guys actually want.
No, influento. So
that's why it's not advisable to be but anyway, this doesn't apply if you like applying externally. Because I'm just saying, this whole thing of having your CV everywhere, and you're applying for CEO roles. Next thing you're applying for teller roles. Next thing you're applying for
everything.
Manager. It's like, honey, can tell us, what do you want?
So basically, we need to play hard to get. That's what you guys are saying.
Yes.
So, okay. So, yes and no. Okay. No, in the sense that if you're looking for a job, yes, put your CV out there, apply. Mm-hmm. But for employers and recruiters, they specifically want those people who are passive, who are not applying, because those are the people that who are happy. They probably happy because they are well taken care of. And why would they be? Why would they be well taken care of? Because they are good at what they do.
Sure.
So that's what it's about.
It does. Okay. When you put it that way, it actually does make.
So the next few questions are going to be interesting then. So. But one of the important ones is, should recruiters be charging us for any fees for them?
But before you get into that gear, I wanna ask Nombu how you got into recruitment and why you you decided to do recruitment.
So recruitment came to me.
Oh,
okay. I didn't go into recruitment because I knew nothing about recruitment. Yeah. So what happened was the MD of the company that I work for now. So I used to be in sports.
Okay. Oh,
and at that
doing
time,
that.
Sporting events, coaching, and. So I happened to be coaching at a school in Sandton where her kids go to.
Mm.
And then we kind of just met on the sidelines and started having a conversation. Nice. And then she was like, hey, I kind of like you. Let's chat in my office. And I was like, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think at that stage as well, I had gotten to a point where I was just like, I've done sports my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a degree, so maybe let me go check what's on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, let me also, because I mean, work for me was shorts, sneakers.
Yes, I remember when I first met Nombu.
Right?
Different.
Every day. So I was like, okay, cool. Maybe being corporate-y and wearing heels won't be too bad.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me try it out. And to my surprise, I've enjoyed it. I've done quite well, and that's basically how I got into recruitment.
And
so,
how long have you been doing it now? Is it five years?
Yeah, about 5 years now.
Because I actually met Nombu when we were training for the same company. I wasn't in recruitment either. It was just like something that, you know, I was actually being interviewed for another job.
Oh.
And then the recruiter was like, actually, I like you for this one. How's about you do this one? But then I realized it's not for me. I was like, I'm not going to do this. So that's how we met Nombu.
Okay, cool. Mm. So you can go back to your question, sorry.
Well, that at least gives us some background. So that's what was going. Thank you.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, though, are struggling with the fact that they're getting SMSs and being told to go to whatever place and bring 900 Rand, 500 Rand, 600 Rand. So then how do, if should one, recruiters be asking us for money as, you know, job seekers? And if not, then how are you making your money?
No, recruiters should not be asking candidates for their money. And I say this because of what I know. Remember, I've only been in one company as far as recruitment is concerned.
Okay.
We form partnerships with clients. We partner up with them. And our partnership is, we'll find you the best possible candidates for the roles that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
In return, you pay us a certain fee from that placement value.
Okay.
And that's how it works. As soon as you're told as a candidate that you need to come and pay me before you go to that interview, it's a bit dodgy. I personally have never met those people, but I've heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dodgy because, you know, why are you paying me
to...
And
when you are unemployed.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Money. No.
Right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense at all. So, no, I don't think you should be paying.
It's a scam.
It is.
If anyone asks you for money, it's a scam.
Yeah,
so run
this,
for the hills.
This thing of going to town from Villach, what?
Yeah,
exactly.
My sister once sent me a thing saying, no, the son is going to this day. Oh, she was asking me to order him an Uber because he's going wherever. And I was like, what's happening? And then she sends me this thing that SMS he got. I googled that place. I'm like, no, bruh. Look at this. I just sent her. You can go if you want to, but look, this thing is
And people get in and they get told they need to start selling some cars at JET, outside JET or something. I'm like,
exactly.
What the hell? But it's really sad. I think, you know, given the fact that South Africa is struggling with employment, these are the things
that
you try and be as people as possible. And it's unfortunate because the people that probably should be hearing this are not probably going to be listening to this. But if you can get to someone or someone in your family like Ulelo, was asked to request an Uber, guys, rather just research for them, help them, and then let them know what's going on.
Yeah, do your research.
But also, one thing for me that's a bit of a confusion.
But sorry, on that tip of the research, these people, they are the same people who are Googling this and this, but they can't Google whether or not it's safe to go to the place. I don't understand. Right? I really don't get it. Like, they were there on WhatsApp, on Facebook, and everywhere else, but they cannot Google whether or not they're safe.
Yeah, our priorities are a little bit off.
It's like my son will send me a thing to say, please print a WhatsApp to say, please print this and this and this. I'm like, why don't you Google that and send me the links of what you want me to print?
Yeah.
Because you are busy Googling lyrics and everything and YouTube, but you don't know how to
print. Exactly.
People ask stuff about definitions of WhatsApp. I'm like, why don't you just Google that?
Google.
Yeah. Like, just Google, guys. That's what it's there for. And this is not a promo, guys. Google's just Google.
Well. From me, right? Okay.
But anyway, and then we get into the actual job seeking. So, okay, cool. I guess I'm not good enough to be, let's just say I'm not good enough to be headhunted or no one's, you know, fighting for me.
Yeah.
All the sads.
Mm-hmm. And also, Skia, just on that tip, those people that Nombu was talking about saying that the people who don't apply, yes, those are the ones that the headhunters go for. So it doesn't mean that you guys, when you see a position advertised, you must not apply.
But, true. Yes. We're just saying that there's, so we're just saying, guys, that
there are levels to this.
There are levels. Don't be discouraged, please. So what are we? So then you've got people. You know the CV thing. If there's one thing that's confusing, it's the CV thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
My issue is how long must my CV be?
Exactly.
Because you'll be like, you'll have like 10 years experience, and then. But you, and then they ask you for, obviously, if you're 10 years, they won't ask you for 2-pager. But then there's instances where they say, you see a post saying, send a 2-page
CV.
How? Yeah. Send a 1-pager. And then there's issues of cover letters. Should I have a cover letter? What should my cover letter say? Mm-hmm. What are we getting wrong? What are we doing wrong on our CVs that we shouldn't be doing?
I personally hate cover letters.
Okay.
I don't like them at all. I don't go through them.
Uh-huh.
And I don't go through them because I feel like people are telling you about themselves. I mean, I could say that I'm a very nice person. I'm loyal. I'm very kind. And that's what people write on those things. You know, they'll tell you
that has got nothing to do with what the job requires.
Yes, they're disciplined and whatnot. I mean,
you could all write that.
I believe that I'm disciplined, but someone else might think, Umuti, I'm lacking. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's always, for me, they don't work. I look at the CV and... Yes, sometimes you find that someone has been around and their CV is long. So I always say that if you've done promotions during varsity and all those things, you can kind of summarize that and put it into one and just maybe write various roles, various companies, and then just 4 main functions of what those roles entailed. That's it. Because when we're studying, most of us will do promotions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So and is that piece job relevant to this job you're applying for? If not, please can
exactly.
Exactly.
Okay. You know,
You know why? This is confusing because we were always told, do these jobs, do this, and add it to your CV. You know, it shows that you guys, it shows that, you know.
For your first job.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so what are we saying? Are we agreeing that... You need to either, so if you want to add the little funky jobs that you did in varsity, whatever, you know, make them smaller. Have like a little one-liner on them.
Yeah.
And the main function, that's it. Don't go into detail about them.
If you need to have them there. Like, look, I think you always need to account for a gap in your CV. So you don't want to discount them completely. And then you matriculated in 96 and then... We only see something from 2004.
So
you still need to account for it. We still need to see, this is what you've been doing. But summarize it because we don't want those details. Now you're a marketing manager. We want to see what you're doing as a marketing manager.
Okay.
What are your career highlights? Those are kind of things that we want to see because I think what employers want to see is what is this person going to bring into my division? You know, they're not interested about everything else that's somewhere in between your responsibilities. You also need to do these kind of reports. If those reports make a bulk or the core function of your role, then sharp. But I always actually say if you're most of the times you'll find that you have 4 main functions.
Okay.
You know, so if you can kind of sum up your CV so that we can just see the core of what it is that you do, that's it. You don't have to have a long, elongated CV, but you find that people have that because sometimes you find that people summarize it and they get it wrong as well.
Yeah. Because
then if you're told have a one pager, then I'm just like, yeah, but I actually don't know what you've done.
Yeah. So a one pager is very difficult to do. So I would say if I was to say, I would say 3 pages is kind of like a good a good number of pages. Mm. I don't know about these people that have got like 6, 7
pages. It's too much.
No.
Then if I want to ask the question, the adapting. So because of the fact that you want me to have the core functions,
exactly.
There are people who adapt their CVs, you know, to match the role.
The particular role.
Advertised. I don't know if you guys have ever done it. Mm. So
it's the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. I think. Okay, we'll hear from.
I agree with you, Lily. I do.
So should we be adapting, and how much adapting is allowed, and how much?
So adapting is not lying. I get.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not embellishing. Yeah.
Don't copy and paste the spec because some people do that.
Do they do that?
Yes.
Oh my
some
gosh.
Some people copy and paste a spec.
No.
Just so it speaks to it. Right.
Okay,
that's
not
cool.
Person worked on it.
So sometimes people get it wrong that way, where they copy and paste the spec. Or sometimes you find, Uguti, people are so lazy to actually do their CVs that if I previously worked at ABC company, then I'll look at the spec that they sent me when they recruited me, and then I'll copy and paste.
Oh.
Which is fine by virtue of the fact that that's what you're told you're going to do.
But
if you're doing the work, you know what you're doing and what you're not. Mm-hmm. And I mean, specs, we all know that HR copies and pastes.
Exactly.
It could be a spec that was done in 2008 that we're getting now.
That's so true.
You know, so how relevant is it to how
what
the business
you were doing.
Has changed?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, but I do think it's important, like, to do adapt it. And the reason why I would adapt my CV if I'm applying for a specific role, because sometimes you've got a generic type CV, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you get a role advertised, and this role, yes, you can do it because there are things there that I mentioned that you've probably done, but you have not listed them on your CV.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to update my CV to make sure that it highlights everything that's in the spec that I've done or that I've got experience in or knowledge in or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that would be my reason for updating because,
No, that makes sense. I was always worried because then, how does that? Because I wasn't even aware that you guys could catch them out if they've like.
Yeah.
How do you catch?
Yeah. Can I just share, right? One of my blunders.
Please do.
So one of my blunders, I had just started working. In the beginning, I knew nothing about recruitment, right? I think I was 3-4 months down the line, and all I was worried about was I wanted to make a placement.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So
gosh,
I called this candidate. The candidate was in and out of meetings, senior position, right?
Yes.
So I'm just like, now the client needs CVs, and they're calling and calling and calling, and then my manager's on my back.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just like, what am I going to do? So I eventually say to the lady, listen, can I just copy and paste? If you're saying you do exactly what's on the spec, can I just copy and paste it? So she was like, yeah, go ahead, it's fine, I'm happy. I do everything that's on the spec. I did exactly that.
Mm.
We sent the CV.
Oh my God.
Now, only to find that one of the things that's mentioned on the spec, only that particular company has it. They are the only company that uses those abbreviations.
Oh my God.
Yes, you guys, it was dirty. It was a big lesson for me.
Do they fire you guys?
No, I got a warning. It was
a well-end warning. but Nombutu, I've also kind of seen in my past that sometimes the recruitment companies also do add things on the CV that the candidate has not done.
Sure.
Because they want to get the person to make a placement.
Yeah.
And then you get the candidate in and then you ask them things and then they don't know anything.
Look,
so some dodgy recruiters out there as well.
Yes, that's so true. And I think that's why after that we then started saying, if you're going to add anything, because obviously sometimes there's not enough meat on a CV.
Yes.
So as you interview, you take notes.
Yes.
And then we add on so that when the client sees it, they're like, this is the person we're looking for, right?
Because also some you guys know how to phrase it better than I would.
Exactly.
So you can, like, the same thing that I would send you could not be accepted, but you could write it in a way that actually talks to their language.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But once you've done that, you need to then be accountable and send it back to the candidate just so you
confirm.
Can cover yourself.
Yes.
And say, I've added.
Nice.
Please check and let me know if you're happy.
That's so
good. Ain't nobody sent me nothing.
That is amazing. Okay,
yeah. So I need to start. I actually going to start because I haven't had a recruiter ask.
I agree. The recruiters that you work with have never gotten a warning.
Exactly. So they haven't learned.
Exactly. Okay, that's a new one. I need to learn something. I'm actually going to request to see what they've added. Yes. I want to find myself in shambles in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then what process then that does my CV go through? Because I know that there's a process where you take my CV as it is. Obviously, you do the interview, you make the notes, but then it goes to another department or, you know, another desk that where they actually fix it up for you. I think it goes on a template.
Sure.
Yes. How much changing actually takes place there?
Not much. So speaking from what I know, our typists are trained to take the CV as it is. Mm. Any changes, we do them.
Okay.
So they'll take the CV, they'll type it up and put it into our format, and then we have the actual hard copy with the notes that we took during the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So when they send the CV back to us, only then do we make any changes at all.
Okay. Mm.
So they're not allowed to do changes. They just put it in our structure, and then we then edit.
Guys, like, I don't know, do you guys have PNET profiles, Careers 24 profiles?
Back in the day, not now.
No.
Yeah. So, I'm still there from back in the day. I must actually go back and see.
So, I was actually wondering about it. Do you guys, are recruiters looking, because I know LinkedIn is like, you know, the hardcore LinkedIn, yeah. And I'm actually thinking maybe for one of the follow-up show is actually how do you beef up your LinkedIn profile
yeah.
the tips and tricks
you guys probably use this, that
yeah
tool to
so are you guys still using your Career 24, your PNETs? Should we still be updating those? Are those outdated? Should we focus on LinkedIn? What do you guys do? Where do you guys source your candidates?
Personally, I don't use PNETs a lot. The only time I use PNETs is when I'm trying to get a number. So if I find a candidate on LinkedIn, I then search for them on PNET to get their numbers.
Mm.
So that's what I use PNET for most of the times. I found that a lot of people are now just using LinkedIn.
Yes.
Yeah.
LinkedIn profiles, you find that some people don't have a lot of information. Mm-hmm. But remember, with LinkedIn as well, there's different licenses. So there's some licenses where you can see if someone's in the market or not.
Yes.
Mm. So it won't show to everyone, but if you've got that particular license, if I go into your profile, Lelo, I can see automatically that, okay, she's in the market.
Mm.
So when I'm calling you, I don't need to go through a long pitch.
Yes.
I already know that we're talking the same language.
Mm.
Now I just need to check, listen, can you talk? I've got this kind of thing. Are you in a good space to talk? You know, if not, then sharp, what time can I call you?
Mm-hmm.
But LinkedIn has become the hunting ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why sometimes we're
for
actually now...
For pedophiles too.
Yeah, it's become Tinder.
It's become Tinder.
It's so bad.
Annoying. And I love LinkedIn so much, actually.
Yeah.
I've got a few calls from that platform. But anyway. So, you guys, should we cut out the Career 24s on the PNETs?
Yeah, like, I've never been on any of those things in any case. I've always been in
LinkedIn.
I mean, like this fuck levels, honey, levels. But then I want to, it's not particularly related to candidates, but how is LinkedIn threatening your area of business? Because I know with some companies are actually going on LinkedIn to find people to hire and doing the hunting internally and not actually outsourcing it to professionals.
So I think that's the biggest dilemma we're facing as agencies, where a lot of companies are trying to cut on their recruitment spend.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, they're starting their own recruitment desks, or they bring in their own recruiters to run with the recruitment.
Yeah.
So it's cutting a lot from us, but also what we find is they haven't gotten it right yet. So for now, we can still make money.
Exactly.
Because they haven't mastered it. I mean, we've got one of the banks that we work with, they started it 2-3 years ago, but a lot of their line managers are frustrated in such a sense that they end up calling us and they're like, these people don't know what they're doing. Please find me this.
Mm. Yeah.
So you find that they've found the teams, but the teams are not skilled enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And fortunately, with recruitment agencies, depending on which ones, but recruitment agencies are the best training grounds.
Yeah,
so unless you're going to find your guys from there, then you're not going to have you're not going to find people that are used to the work pressure, mm-hmm. that understand the whole recruitment process, mm-hmm. and that are willing to do the 360 recruitment process. Mm-hmm. Because you find that in some companies, some people don't type their own CVs, whereas in some companies, they type their own CVs, they interview, they do the debrief and brief and everything, mm-hmm. you know. So if you're finding someone who's just saying, hey, I studied HR, I can do recruitment, they mm-hmm. know nothing. And I think that's where the big corporate started. They got people that, that mm-hmm. have HR degrees and said, hey, we're starting recruitment. It's part of HR. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get it right. Mm. Now they're starting to get it right. There are some companies that are starting to get it right. And as a result, we're seeing less and less of specs coming through. But I think not only that, but we're also in the AI space. And a lot of companies are also trying to cut down on headcount and rather get the AI coming in, which in the future is going to be a huge problem. So I think right now as a recruiter, the best thing to do is you need to evolve yourself.
Exactly.
You know, you need to find where AI is going and make sure that you're ahead of it, because otherwise you're going to find yourself getting retrenched in a, in a year, 2 years' time. So, yeah, so we're also competing against AI right now.
Damn. And I think while you're speaking about that, we are constantly talking about how the you know, industries are changing, especially where we're headed and how everyone needs to upskill or make sure that they meet the standards or the requirements. Is that what you, is that the sort of thing you guys are now looking for in CVs as well? So if someone is a marketing manager now, are you guys expecting them to have some digital experience? Because I'm seeing a lot of roles now seeking digital, which is something that wasn't there necessarily before. But what would you then advise, you know, a job seeker or someone who's in specific industries, and now how are they going to compete?
They need to upskill themselves. You need to be ahead. And sometimes it's not even about going to school and paying fees. Go on YouTube, learn how to code.
There are
courses that explain what your digital marketing is. Digital marketing is very important right now. In fact, you need it. And there's not a lot of people of color that are good in digital marketing. And that's a dilemma we're faced with, where a lot of companies are looking for highly skilled
digital marketers,
EE candidates in digital.
Oh, damn, guys.
And they're
there
not
you
there.
There you go.
Space, gap.
But also those companies also need to wake up. They have to give people an opportunity for them to be high, to become highly skilled.
So
I mean, how many years of digital marketing have we had that they now want to expand?
Also, basically, digital marketers are almost like business analysts now. They're like in demand.
Big time.
Okay, cool.
Big time.
Shucks. Okay. Okay, cool. So, and our social media as well. Are you guys checking out our social media when you get our CVs? Are you searching and, you know, is our social media, you know, influencing the decision that you make about putting us forward?
From agency side, no, I don't. But I know that corporates, they do.
Okay.
If you're, so it's important. I always say personal branding is important. And maybe this is a, this is another discussion, but you want to give people freedom of speech, but does everyone deserve the platform? Because on my Facebook, I could say anything that I want, but that might affect me getting a role at the next best tech company. You know what I mean? So how I personally brand myself on social media, unfortunately, has a lot to do, will make or break my career. You know, so it's a debatable thing, because you give some people a platform like a Julius Malema and then they go crazy. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you want to hear those views, because
you need to know who they
are. Everyone has opinions these days, even if they're uninformed and half baked. You can see the person didn't even bother to pick up a newspaper, but you'll have something to say on the topic.
But it also gives you insight in the character of the person, which is kind of important.
But guys, is that even fair? Because you know what? I might be a little hoochie on Twitter, but I mean, does that mean that I'm not good enough to do the job? Because I might be really good at my job, but I might be a little hoochie.
It depends on what culture the company is looking for.
Are they looking for hoochie culture?
Okay, guys, wait. On that hoochie culture note, let's take a quick break and be back after this. Welcome back. Okay.
On that hoochie note.
On that hoochie note.
Okay, guys, so please behave online and try, be yourself, but try and keep it, you know, to the hoochiness to the bare minimum. And then
What I would say about that is, you know, if you've watched Spider-Man.
Yes.
I would say, yes, everybody, we all have freedom of speech.
Yes.
Mm.
So therefore, yes, go on Twitter and do whatever. Mm-hmm. But with great... Okay, I don't know actually what he said. Great freedom comes great responsibility. Something like that. Yeah. I don't know. That's not exactly how Spider-Man says it, but yeah.
We get you, Spider-Man.
Yeah, right.
I then saw someone talk about issue of checks. So you guys check our criminal records and our credit score and our credit whatever. But someone was saying, why do recruiters not check that stuff before sending us to a candidate or getting our hopes up, and then only check after you've gotten our hopes up to say, oh, you've been great, whatever.
And waste money.
So you see, there you go. We didn't know that. Maybe they don't know that there's money. What is involved in these checks? What are you checking? Like, why? Why are you checking, doing these checks? How is it costing you guys money, the client money, or me as a candidate?
So it's costing us money.
Okay.
But yeah,
there you go, guys.
So it's costing us money, and obviously we're trying to save. If we had to do checks for each and every person that walks in our doors on a daily basis, because remember, we see on average about maybe 30 people a day, not individually, but
as a company.
Yes. Yeah. So we see about 30, if not more, just in my division. Let me talk about my division. We see about 30 people.
Mm.
And if we're going to do checks for all those 30 people, we're spending a killing.
Okay. So what are those checks, and where do you guys get those checks?
So it's ITC. It is a fraud check. It's an ID verification check, and then there comes the qualification checks, the CRIM checks. Some companies want a media check where they go through your social media. And then there's some check, I forgot what it's called, but it's about you being related to a politically exposed person kind of situation.
Oh.
So there's all those things. So they cost a lot of money, and sometimes these take, so like a social media check takes a while.
How do they find you though? Because you could have an alias.
But remember, you've signed the MIE form, so you're giving them consent to do the checks. They have their ways of finding it and then going through it, checking if there's anything disturbing. And then maybe 2 years ago you wrote something about the Green Bank. And then now you're applying there. So these things, that's what I'm saying. Social media presence, unfortunately, can make or break you.
But I would really challenge that. Yo, now just because I said their fees are expensive, now I can't apply. That was 2 years ago. And they were expensive. But also as a client, I'm allowed to express my thing.
Absolutely.
But anyway,
guys, so I see what it is.
Kia.
Sorry.
Wow, guys.
So then I'd like us to move to interviews.
Sure.
What are we doing wrong in interviews that make the interviewer cringe? So what are the things that you've experienced in your interviews that you just feel like, you know what, no, this is not it? Because, and also I also want to find out, there's this theory that if the interview is very long, then it went well.
Yeah,
and then if it's very short, it's like, nah, forget about it. Is that really true? Do you guys agree with that? Have you experienced that?
No.
Yeah, stop kicking the...
Oh, am I?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
It actually is making so much noise. So when you hear the noise, you know I was kicking the table.
Sorry, guys.
Trying to play footy with license. He's not interview long,
so interviews,
short.
Long, short, is that theory real?
No. It's yes and no. And I'll say yes and no because sometimes you find people, managers, that are straight to the point. They just want to know whether you've got the skill, whether you've done X, Y, Z. And after that, then that's fine. HR can do the rest of the culture fits and your competency-based kind of questions. But sometimes it's long because they're interested in what you're doing and what you've done, and they just want to know more and more and more. So it's a yes and no type of situation.
Yeah.
But I always say that people that come out, I don't know about you, Lilo, but I found that people that, if you do a debrief with the candidate and they're like, oh my goodness, it went so well, this happened and I did this. They're probably wrong. You speak to the clients and they're like, no. What a horrible. I've actually had clients that have said that was so painful.
No way.
And you coming out of the interview and you're like, think it went well. I did everything. Yeah. It went well.
And you know, it's probably these people who go into an interview and go on and on and on and on without reading the body language. You have to read the body language of your interviewers. Don't go lololo after you've answered the question.
Oh my gosh.
For me, if I feel like this interview is not going anywhere, honey,
cut.
No. Yes. I'm not going to spend my whole time.
I would also cut it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I hear you.
And just speaking on interviews, mm-hmm. how do we, when we speak about, when they ask us about money, right? Mm. How do you, if you actually want more money than they are offering, how do you politely bring that up without looking greedy?
I always say that if you don't have to discuss it, right there and then, don't discuss it.
Okay.
So if you do happen to be going through an agency, rather get that person to negotiate on your behalf, because one, I already know what their budget is.
Okay.
And having dealt with them as a client, I'll know how much more I can still stretch them. Okay. Whereas you won't know.
Mm.
And you also don't want to say you're expecting something that's less, or okay. You'll make a lateral move, mm-hmm. because that may also show as if you maybe don't know your worth, exactly. you're not confident enough.
Yeah.
Whereas if you also shoot it high, then they'll just say you're greedy.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, you'll easily take a counter offer, and you're a high risk, and. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
I've always also been told just to leave out
the financial.
Leave out that. So recruiters have always told me, don't bring that up at all. Leave mm-hmm. that with me. And if they do ask you in the interview, just say, you know what, I've spoken to the recruiter about it. Could you kindly, you know, chat to the recruiter about that? Yeah. So maybe if you're not feeling comfortable, because I honestly, guys, the money thing for me, and I don't know if it's a cultural thing or if it's a racial thing or if it's a person thing, but I don't know why we're always scared to bring up the money issue. And I feel like if you're worth it, you should be able to.
So I don't think an interview is the appropriate place to discuss salary.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
But so we should leave it. So where would they email, a call, they
an agency? Yeah. Just tell them to speak to your agent. And if you apply directly, just tell them you'll send them an email with your payslip or whatever, or you discuss it at that point. Yeah. So that's it.
That makes sense. Mm. What are your big interview no's? So maybe give us your top three or top four, like, interview no's. What are people doing wrong in interviews that are making them seem like, ugh, nah?
People do not know how to. I found that people, you find that sometimes someone has the right skill sets,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know how to articulate it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or you find that someone has a lot of experience and has done great things, but they come across as too, like, nyazazi. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a big no for me. And something that I always say is a red flag from the get-go. You need to have, so if I'm a recruiter, I need to have the counter offer conversation from the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. Mm.
And I need to know if you're, I mean, I've stopped submitting people because of money issues, mm-hmm. because otherwise you go through this whole process, mm-hmm. and then I get an offer, mm-hmm. and then next thing they don't accept because all they really wanted is a counter offer. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of things that you need to establish from the first meeting.
Yeah, because I wanted to challenge. Also, I mean, I've always been told never accept a counter offer to begin with, because my thing is, if they really valued you from the onset,
I don't subscribe to that.
What do you think then?
What do you think?
No, it depends. Okay, so you're saying don't accept a counter offer because if they valued you, they would have given you that money.
Yeah, so why is it that when I'm leaving?
Yeah, I agree with you.
What do you think?
Forward as that. It's not a straight cut as that. Yeah. Sorry to interject, but sometimes, like in other companies, it's very difficult to just randomly give someone a salary. There's like strict processes in terms of salary increase, I mean. Mm-hmm. So there's strict processes in terms of how you can get someone an increase and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when there's and for example, worked in a place where if there's a counter offer, the policy allows you, if there's an offer, if the person gets an offer from whatever, and you guys want to keep this person, maybe.
Retain talent. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to retain them, they allow you to actually make a counter offer based on whatever.
So there you go, guys. So there's always been a conversation around that. We've always been advised not to take counter offers, but it seems there are policies that, you know, hold the companies back sometimes. Yeah. So if it works to your advantage, I mean, hey man, if it works to your advantage to get the counter offer, then I guess
they're
do what you can.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out. Oh, also, another thing for me is the issue of a recruiter not, the recruiter not telling me that it's an actual panel, a panel interview, because that is a little, a tad bit more scary than it is having one person in an interview. What should I be expecting my recruiter to tell me prior to me going into an interview? Mm-hmm. What should I ask the recruiter and make sure that the recruiter has in place before my interview? Because sometimes I feel like, as much as people maybe don't know how to answer questions, as a recruiter, were you not supposed to prep me for that interview and tell me how I was supposed to dress or tell me how I was supposed to...
So, sorry, when are we taking responsibility for our job settings? Now we are pushing the responsibility.
No,
to the
but I get called. I'd get a call and then someone would say, and when I was a recruiter, I'd always get told, okay, we need to prep the, you know, you need to prep the candidate. Because firstly, not everyone is as articulate as we are or as we think we are, but they're really good at what they do. So when some people are, for example, who are analysts who sit in corners and program are not
people
don't
person.
Come across, are not people. No focus. So they don't understand how you need to engage in those sort of environments. So what should I be asking my recruiter then? You know, if you say I've sent in my CV, you liked it.
Sure.
And I'm sending me to clients. What are the things that I should be making sure that I have in place? I will ask you and check.
Do your research on the company. Do your research on the particular division you're getting interviewed.
And read the damn job spec.
Read the spec. I always say if when you're going to an interview, right, when you've been shortlisted, go through the job spec again in more detail, in such a sense that you almost ask yourself scenario-based questions on each of the requirements that they've put on the spec, because you don't know what they're going to ask you.
That's actually good advice.
Gonna,
that is good advice.
That is good advice.
You said you read the spec.
And then go through all the requirements of the role. Ask yourself scenario-based questions.
Wow. Oh, damn.
You know?
Wow. Okay. So that always catches you out in interviews, scenario. What did you do when the bin
fell? Tell us about an instant. Best advice ever. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. And it's actually a tech out.
And I think also just you need to know who's in the panel. And then go on LinkedIn.
Research.
Look at what they've done. Do your research. Mm-hmm. It also helps facilitate a conversation. You don't want to be sitting in a room where you're trying to figure out where the next question is going to come from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can also start the question. If they're quiet or maybe they're taking notes, you also want to ask them stuff because you know what they've done in their career histories and. So it just helps facilitate the question, the conversation. And it just flows. Because I hate interviews where it's you're asking questions, I'm answering, and that's
it. Also, we can have it, we can, you know, create
it's
a conversation.
It's always better
than
that.
You're
not leaving it.
If you Google me, don't ask me about what I said on Twitter. Thank you.
I want
to
know.
So you need to find you need to keep it professional, find a balance.
Yes.
And then also, I think what people struggle with is, apparently it's not a good look when you don't have questions as a candidate. So, someone told me that you need at least have two questions, Yana, that you need to. Because you know how at the end of the interview they ask, do you have any questions? Mm. And then you're just like, no. Apparently it's not a good look. Is that true? Is that a myth?
Can I answer before you answer? Mm. Not from a professional, because
sure.
I'm not in the industry. From my perspective on the other side.
Yeah.
Is that there've come questions where, sorry, times where they've actually answered my questions without me answering them.
Yes.
So what I always do is, like, if necessary, though, I always try and build on some of the stuff that they mentioned so that I create a conversation out of those things. I think that kind of helps if you actually have nothing to ask.
So I do get that, and I do get that it's very awkward at the end when they ask you, do you have questions, and you say no questions. So I think in a case like that I would say, no, you have already answered my question, like Lighton said, because I was interested in 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and you did explain by saying 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, so at least there's a nice conclusion there. But I think also what we forget is that an interview is supposed to be a two-way thing. They are assessing you. You are also assessing whether or not this is an environment that I want to work in. Yes, it's we don't have that luxury of of choosing. No. Of choosing our employers, because sometimes people are so desperate for a job, they just want to get whatever.
Exactly.
But it's also a kind of an opportunity for you to find out, okay, do you support further learning? I'm very much interested in doing my master's, my what. So it's also... you could be asking those type of questions.
Yeah.
You could ask about, okay, what is your culture and what type of people. I think the best question that will leave you as a candidate having a bit of an idea in terms of how you did would be, So what type of person are you looking for in this role? If they haven't already said that, obviously. Mm,
exactly.
So then they will explain. They will explain. You'll kind of get, ah, no.
And this role.
That's not
yeah.
Because
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's not just about the role, but they actually talk about the person.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
yeah.
That's actually yeah. Kind of good. Yeah. Yeah. Good,
yeah, so you're welcome.
Good advice.
Yeah, because culture.
Invoice coming. Culture is quite a big thing these days. The culture talk. But yes. I think we'll delve into that conversation at the next for one of our other episodes. Nombu, it's been great. You were
thank
a
you.
Star. Thank you so much. I think, guys.
Thank you so much.
Guys. So, like we said, if you're being headhunted, yay to you. But if you're not being headhunted and you're job hunting, try and use the tips that we've given you guys.
Exactly.
Read up a lot. Do your research, guys. Don't just go into an interview blindly. Mm. Do you guys, were anything key for you, lights that stood out for you with this discussion?
I think for me, it's what Nombu said about, you know, going through the job spec and actually going through it again in much more detail and, like, you know, answering, asking yourself scenario-based questions. I think that was key for me.
Mm.
And also what Lelo said just now about... asking them what type of a person are you looking for, because then you actually know where you stand, which is kind of which is actually kind of great. Thank you so much, guys. I think that was so insightful, and I think our listeners should go back and listen to the episode again and take notes.
Absolutely. I think you should, guys. Exactly. And if you have any other questions, let us know. You can use the hashtag the Office Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can send us tweets as well, myself, Lelo, or Lighten. And let us know if you have any questions. We will answer them online as well, so don't feel restricted or anything of that nature. If you also want to leave a comment on the podcast, please leave comments as well. Rate us, share,
review,
follow, review. Mm-hmm. Let us know, and we're good. So I'm thirsty now, though.
Awesome, cool. Thank you, guys. So it's gonna be time for tea soon.
Yeah,
yes.
But, let's grab some tea
after this break. That was a very interesting conversation with Nombule Lokali. Thank you, Kia, for organizing.
Thanks, guys. I think we will do a lot more of those conversations and have a lot more guests in studio.
I love it. But for now, it's time for us to have tea. What's up, Lighten?
Guys, I've been looking forward to tea time. So without further ado, let's get into it. Mm. So today we're going to be speaking about my favorite person, Uzodwa Abantu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So did Zodwa become your favorite person?
Dude, I'm curious.
Do you know what? Like, since she released...
Ooh, I'm a standard, guys.
No. The shade. Ooh,
dude.
I was never ready. But you know what? I actually started liking her when I started watching her reality show. Which is, I think the production could be better, but anyways, that's another thing for another day.
Okay.
But I feel like she is so honest and she owns who she is.
She does.
That it's like, you know, it's refreshing, even though I wouldn't do half of the things that she does, but it's refreshing that she actually doesn't give a damn.
Wow.
And she just, you know, goes in and lives her life and says whatever she wants to say.
Okay.
So in her latest episode, guys... The tea. I know Kay is like waiting for
what
it.
What happened?
In the last episode, she actually shared that Kanyimba was part of the people that were in the latest episode, by the way.
Yeah.
And then she was showing how she used to be Mandla Mthemba's side chick.
Well, he was married
to Kanyimba. Yes.
Wow. Can you know?
Yes.
And she was just like, going
it was like... Apparently, like, Zod was like, Kanye was like giving an interview, the like confessional almost, saying that, like, you know, and then there was this girl, Uzodwa, and then they used to call her Thunder Legs at that point. And Scarface, because she was gone, whatever.
Hill.
She was like, and Umanda was just like, living me for this chick. And I was like, I live in Melrose.
He used to take her to Melrose, exactly.
to her penthouse in Melrose. And Uzodwa says, like, I'll see her necklaces and your watches and be like, if I steal this, it just might be a little 30K. It was so funny.
You know what? Honestly, I find that reality show boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched the two episodes and I was just like, oh my God, what is going on? But then I watched this episode and I was like, damn it, it was fire. Like, I've watched it twice already. I'll probably watch it for the third time.
Yeah.
But the storytelling was magnificent.
It
like,
was quite funny.
This is on Moja Love.
The storytelling was magnificent. And she details how she'd get to the penthouse, see these Lonnie and shiny things. And then also, Kanye's also explaining how, you know what, baby girl knows what she was there for. I know what I'm there for. We're both not leaving,
exactly.
So therefore.
Wow.
You know, it's a community effort.
Where is this man? Did they say, right? He is now.
No, they don't say where he is.
Is he not broke now?
He is. There's no Lamborghinis. Mm. But can you just buy yourself a Porsche?
It's a yellow car.
I saw a yellow car. I don't know cars either. Yeah. I'm just like, oh my god,
a yellow car. He wears that.
But then you know, like, I've read it. You guys don't picture it. But you know, like, what I thought was so funny was how, like, it's somewhat like a full circle of, you know, they're now different people. They are in the same, sort of like in the same industry, I suppose, entertainment.
Yeah, they are in
and
the same industry.
I love the fact that Kanye was gracious enough to come and tell and the like story. tell her story. And that she was like willing to share that. Because some of it was
but
really
also,
quite,
Kanye
you know,
also has always been very open about everything she's been through. So,
yeah. But, you know, it's so funny because I didn't get, you know, like, I've always understood what Kanye about, but I think part of me always like had a bit of a judgment. It's so funny when she was telling that story and I was like, she was probably like 22 when that was happening, really early 20s. I'm like,
and at that age it happened,
and I'm like, going through that at that age, and meanwhile you're like, you just have like a newborn baby, and then there's this, I was just like, oh my god, you know, sometimes it actually explains why people go through that, like the after phase that she went through with.
But I think also at that age where you're young, this man is giving you, he's got all this money, it's much easier for it to happen at that point rather than at this age where you're like,
and you're self-sufficient. So you're just like, you know what, actually it's fine, I don't need all the Gucci bags, I don't need all this other rubbish, I'm okay, like you know, that's why it's hard. I think that's why the older you get, it tends to like get a little bit harder to find yourself in relationships. But you know, one of the funniest things I found about the show was how, you know, Zotto would detail the fact that they'd buy her 10,000 rand fridges at Joshua Door. And she knew that she was there for she knew she was there for a hustle, and she kept it going. And Kanye then found out about it. They met up, even called Mandla as well. And they're still together. They're still just like, you know what, we're both leaving. So we're making the most of it.
We're making the most of it. And then, like, what was also funny to that point was that Kanye got to a point where she would call Zodwa and find out if Manja was with her so that she doesn't worry. Wow. Then she knows where he is. And I was like, guys, this is the wife for the new level.
Yeah, and the thing about it is there are people who live that life now.
Yeah, exactly. The reality.
Exactly.
But do you want to be that person?
Hell no.
Hell to the no.
Well, if he gives me money, it's fine. I'm kidding.
I don't see you sitting. I don't see you chilling in such situations.
Maybe, you know, if he owes like a private jet and he gives me like a diplomatic passport, that could be reviewed.
Well, that's a good one. Because then you vanish and you run
and
with
then I can
diplomatic
be a guest
love.
At Miss Lela Bishop. Based on like my travel.
Do not be spilling secrets when I'm not your target. Talk about celebrities. I'm not your tea. Okay, what else besides
Zodwa? Guys, okay. I don't know if you guys watched Real Housewives of Atlanta.
So I've missed this season. I love Real Housewives, but I've missed the season entirely. I need to catch up, but I really love it. So this is going to be great.
Okay, cool. So I'm just going to tell you. So I think even if you don't watch it, you might have like a thought. So there's rumors that are going that Robin Givens is joining the cast of Real House of Atlanta.
Why would she join?
That was my question.
Yeah, she has a new show now out now.
Yes, Riverdale. She's on Riverdale.
I think there's another one.
Yeah. I mean, can you be then on multiple shows?
Yes, you can. I think it depends.
No, but the other one is not a reality show.
Okay.
But it's not Riverdale. There's another show that they. I listened to an interview. That's why I remember. Because I listened to an interview of her recently. I think she was on Yes Girl or something.
Yeah.
She's got a new show. It's not Riverdale. It kind of felt like it was a new show. But but anyway, she still looks good.
She still looks good. But I just feel like it's a bit of a career suicide. Not really career suicide. I just don't feel like it can uplift her career.
But also, she's not a housewife. Is that show not
You know how it is.
Probably out of the 7 housewives, maybe 3 are married. Like the rest of them are never married. Which is quite funny.
If it was the case. Just like the Real Housewives of Johannesburg.
Yes.
Said that.
Exactly.
Yeah. What was your thing about Robin?
My thing about Robin is that, guys, like, I don't know if she actually needs to join. Like, I feel like she'll bring, like, a certain, like, grace to the show, but I also feel like the other ladies might drag her down because
Yeah, but like, she doesn't seem to be a fit for that type of show.
Yeah,
I think like you said, Grace.
Exactly. Yeah.
What I'm thinking.
And in Real Housewives of Atlanta, you need the ghetto.
You need the ghetto.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When I think of those reality shows, I'm just thinking ghetto and
ghetto and noise and lighting.
And I feel like it's different because I feel like the Housewives of Beverly Hills get away with it, but also mostly because they don't really do it for the money. They do it for the fame because they already have the money situated. So I don't think it's like more of a money thing for them. Yeah. And I don't know, like, I just feel like...
is this one, sorry, the one that when Nini's at...
Yes.
My girl.
Yeah. But then this actually led to me thinking about how a lot of celebrities are going, go towards, like, reality TV, and it's actually not doing anything for them. Like, Real Brother didn't do anything much for Tamar Braxton. I just feel like even the Braxton family values have gone to a point where they're just, like...
Yeah, apparently it's too much fun.
It used to be good. I don't know.
About family, about values, and then now it's just like there's always a fight about something else. And I just feel like we, unfortunately, with reality TV, what's expected is that there has to be drama, there has to be some tea, there has to be some shade. Mm. It can never be like a building each other up kind of, you know.
I'm trying to think if we have a reality show that is almost like a positive experience. Like, for example, like Zotto's show. I'm just going to, you know, that's the first thing that comes to mind. That show isn't like fights and drama. But it's still content that people are consuming. Yeah. So maybe there is a gap. There is a chance for good to come out of reality shows. I don't know. But
I don't know what good you guys would say. Good. There's no... I don't know. It's like, I feel like they do reality shows for the drama and for the ugly and for whatever. I mean, like, Chana has got like this online reality show where she and her mother are swearing at each other and I hate that's you right or what not. It's like, that's... It's there's more and more of that. Yeah. And I kind of get the sense that the reason why there's more and more of that is because people don't want to watch the good stuff.
They don't. Yeah. Sadly. So maybe we shouldn't expect any good sort of reality.
Yeah, I'm just sorry.
So
I'm
maybe
not interested.
Maybe Robin just wants to start becoming Robin will probably be the you know, with every group of ratchet, there's always gotta be the angel.
Yeah.
And the medium one or the one that's always in the middle that is, you know, setting everyone out straight. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that could be the reason why they've brought her in or bring her in.
Well, I hope she doesn't join because I feel like credibility just goes.
I actually don't think so, Lighten, because I'm just reading it. I was right. She did an interview on Yes Girl, and they said she's currently in two shows, Riverdale and The Fix, with a third show on the way this summer, Ambitions on OWN.
Oh.
So they were interviewing her about Ambitions. On OWN. So you can be on OWN. And then
like, But then it's quite interesting because a lot of the blogs in the US are spilling tea about like some confidential stuff that has been leaked that involves Robin, and it's been swirling around for like a long time. We don't know. But then the other thing is, like, you know, those reality shows that do pay good, some of them, especially when you've got a certain kind of name.
I guess, but like when you've got three shows, you're still gonna do a reality show.
But you know how we are when we want money.
Anyway, that was very interesting. So I don't know. Nothing you guys have said about Zoda's show has made me want to watch it. And I will not be watching Real Housewives of Atlanta, whether Robin Givens joins or not. I will put it to me being old.
No.
For you guys who are young.
No, it's for boredom, literally
it's for boredom. Exactly. It's entertaining and you don't have to think that much.
Exactly. We think too much. Yeah. I think we try to think instead of thinking.
We don't want
to
analyze, we don't want to analyze Sansa.
Okay, a different type of boring.
Exactly.
All right, cool. Is that it for tea?
Yes, that's it.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. So, guys, I think if you enjoyed the episode, if you think that Robin Givens is going to join Real Housewives of Atlanta, let us know. Social media, hashtag The Office Podcast. And we will chat to you guys again next week.
Yes, guys. Bye, guys.